Okay, thanks. You know, that's all actually 3 points that actually lead into the next question in some way. So we've got this idea of trial and error. We've got this idea that the battle plan has to change. We've got these ideas that there are both markets and there's public sector, and one or both has to take a leadership role. But you know what? And for USAID, I think for all of us who are trying to roll out maternal, newborn, child health interventions, increasingly we're finding ourselves in fragile settings. And some of those fragile settings, some of those elements are not necessarily going to be in place. And so when we think about those fragile, and whether it's fragility from insecurity or from violence or, you know, potentially lack of transparency or just other stressors, you know, what are some of the things that have to be thought about differently in making progress and moving to scale in those more fragile settings? So I think we'll start with Larry on this one and then move around.
Well, a colleague of mine named Jonathan Papalitis and I recently wrote a paper about scaling up in fragile states. And it was a really, for me, a very instructive process to stand back from the scaling situation in general and say what makes that circumstance different. And I would say if some of the things that you've been hearing today are about the importance of context, my sort of tagline on that is context is king. If you move into these fragile states, context is emperor. I mean, you take everything that was already true about context and you put it on steroids. And it's got a few different pieces of elements that follow from that. The first is that the two platforms that I was talking about before, governments and markets, they're both compromised, both of them. And so when you see the interesting cases, and I could, if we had time, share with you several interesting cases of scaling in fragile states, they found very clever workarounds that somehow compensated for and built redundancy into the fragile situation with government and the circumstance with markets. The second thing is that people will see whatever you do through the lens of the underlying grievances. You think it's a health intervention, but it's not just a health intervention. People are going to see it in terms of the government's preference for one group or another. Or if there's somebody other than the government delivering the service, they'll see it as a statement about the inability of the government to do that. So the perspective that needs to be brought to bear on the delivery is not just a chance to avoid harm, which you easily can do, but also a chance to really advance some of the, pardon me, some of the building blocks of peace or stability in this. And a lot of the resilience discussion, the best of it, really tries to take hold of it this way. How do our interventions provide an opportunity to really work at some of the core drivers of instability or lack of resilience? And the third point about fragile states is that resources tend to flow in very quickly around a crisis, and they flow out equally quickly. So the problem you heard before about we had partners in such and such a place, and then when the time came, we didn't anymore, that's especially true in fragile states. So the planning, the financial trajectory becomes something you have to give a lot of extra attention to. And finally, you have this whole notion that the subject, the ability or the likelihood of shocks and stressors go way up. It's almost a given that the plan you have or the circumstance you inherit will not be consistent throughout. So the ability to build into it the level of adaptation, which everybody in the donor community now talks about, but very few of us do, I think becomes especially paramount there.
Mm-hmm. Laura, Steve, Laura.
Sure, gladly. So one of the things that we really believe about scaling up is that it's critical that whatever innovation you're testing or intervention you seek to scale up, you have to think of it as part of a systems perspective. You need to take a systems thinking approach. And whenever you're scaling up in a system, you should be endeavoring to try to strengthen the system more generally so that it can accommodate and institutionalize your intervention package. And if, for example, you've tested something that you then want to scale up, you have to be examined about what you actually did in terms of that intervention package to know, well, in fact, we did actually do some system strengthening, and consider that as part and parcel of the whole package that needs to be scaled up, because otherwise you're going to meet with failure along the way. And one other key lesson that we have is that always, even within fragile systems, there are people and points of strength that can be built upon. For example, there are those who know the limitations of the system, but are trying, endeavoring to work around them is a nice word, or to think about how to capitalize on those strengths and really push them forward.
Do you mind if I put sandwich in one more point? Sorry, Steve. So we did a series of evaluations of vertical health funds in Ghana and in Sierra Leone, two adjacent countries. As luck would have it, there were about 30 of these vertical health funds in each country, and in many cases, precisely the same vertical health funds. When you looked at the situation in Ghana, the net add was really obvious. When you looked at the same situation in Sierra Leone, it was a disaster. I mean, it was really horrible. How do you explain the difference? Same vertical programs, two adjacent countries, and so on. My explanation is that Ghana had an underlying public health system. So they were able to take from each of these things the things they needed, and the country could do the integration. They didn't depend on the vertical programs to do their own integration. In the case of Sierra Leone, it was exactly the opposite. So what you did was completely balkanize the whatever health care there was in the country. The net effect is maybe you scaled up some things, but in the course of doing so, you did tremendous damage to the underlying system. So for me, one of the real issues of fragile states is who's available to do the coordination, and how do you build that in a way that makes sure these things are additive?
Steve, any changes to the battle plan?
Yeah, just very briefly. When we do scale-up work, our tendency, I think, is to focus a little bit too exclusively on the intervention and characteristics of the intervention. And as we've been discussing just now, we need to be giving appropriate attention to the system that's going to have to deliver that intervention and pay attention to characteristics of that system. Sometimes the interventions that we're introducing, like, they make relatively heavy demands, and we need to make a determination whether that's realistic given the system that we actually have to work with. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, an intervention that may seem inherently simple may in fact be quite demanding. That's okay, providing we've got a system that's sufficiently robust to deliver it. But again, we need to be paying attention to both sides, the characteristics of the intervention and then the characteristics of the system that we expect to see delivering it.